Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the news of the day, which is another quarterback trade. So I want to break down the offseason tracking matrix with our quarterback play here. We'll talk about Matt Ryan briefly. I'm interested in Matt Ryan from we're going to innings eat with him is basically what it's going to be. And we're looking to see what the contract extension, if any, is going to look like. So let's just look real briefly here at sort of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with, at this point, essentially a non-guaranteed contract that the Colts, if cut, could save it all. And that's the benefit of basically them trading for Matt Ryan. All the dead cap hits stay with the Falcons, and the Colts now take it on. Now, are they going to extend him? Are they going to give more guaranteed money? Are they going to sort of tinker it around? They have a ton of cap space amongst the most in the NFL. So we'll see there. We've seen this play out a little bit. We saw it play out last year with Stafford. We saw it. I think we'll see it this year with Russell Wilson, where it plays out a year and then you come up on your last year and then we say, all right, like, let's do that extension now or not, or, you know, whatever. That's really where I would guess that we're going to be at. So again, this is more year to year. Does this prevent them from, you know, adding someone in the draft? No. I think it's probably unlikely that they go that route. And when you think of what this is in comparison to the Carson Wentz deal, what a dismal deal for the for Washington. I mean, honestly, when you look at what Washington was taking on, they take on another year of contracts. They take on basically pretty similar cap number next year. Matt Ryan's about $3 million more. They could save it all. Carson Wentz is under contract for two more years after this. So I guess there's an extra year of, quote, cost control. That's $27 million. And you look at it, I mean, the Colts basically traded Carson Wentz for Matt Ryan and picked up a third in the process. Could be, I guess, a second too. So, pretty interesting here in terms of how that all played out. Again, there's some cap implications that go along with that. It's not just that simple. I know NBC has basically talked about, hey, it's not just as simple as you know, these two deals side by side. Listen, I mean, here's what I think the big takeaway from Dynasty is right, when you rush, right, and when you feel like you're going to be left out, when you're under pressure, you make bad decisions. And I think Washington's been looking for so long to fix quarterback, and what do? They rush out and, like, do the first deal. There's a deal for Watson, and who knows if they could have been in on any of these, right? And who knows, again, fallacy of the predetermined outcome. We don't know what would have happened, what follow-on implications happened from the Wentz deal that would not have happened if not for the Wentz deal, right? We don't know what players are involved in this that maybe aren't, what other deals are, but let's just assume for the sake of argument things play out the same, that Washington wasn't going to be a destination, neither was the Colts. At the end of the day, Washington could have been a cheaper destination for Matt Ryan, who's a better quarterback, and they wouldn't be dealing with some of the issues that we're dealing with. And I think that when you look at this, you have to think, like, this is something I've been talking about, and I think it's interesting when we see these things, because we don't have some of the agency problem that the NFL has, right? We don't have the problem of, oh, my owner, right, or the team owner, the team governor, whatever they're calling, you know, I know the NBA it's governors, and I think it's owners in the NFL. My team owner is controlling and really wants his quarterback, and, you know, he's pissed and he's going to fire us, right? We don't have that problem. And so I do think, you know, unless you're really, you know, self-loathing, you're not getting ready to fire yourself as a dynasty GM. And that's an advantage, right? Because if you look at you keep going back to this, look at the teams that made the good deals, right? Look at the teams that made deals that were big time deals, and that are, that frankly are plus EV, right, that are going to increase your odds, I think, of long-term winning championships. You know, we could debate about Atlanta, but let's set Atlanta aside for a second. I was going to assume that Matt Ryan wasn't going to be the next starter on a Atlanta championship team, but let's just set them aside for a second. Denver goes out, makes a pretty good deal. Again, they're early on in their structure. The team that traded Seattle, right, they're early on in their front office, so maybe they're forced a little bit. Maybe they are forced a little bit. But Seattle, they're pretty safe, right? And they make this deal kind of knowing, like, this is a maybe 5 to 10 year window type deal. It's interesting why Pete Carroll wanted to make that. But I think from the front office's perspective, maybe this increases their odds of winning a championship in the next decade, but reduces it in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, if you will. Probably made as good of a deal as Cleveland made when you sort of add up all the pieces. Washington, again, rushed to pay day two picks for Carson Wentz. They're a dysfunctional franchise. They're dysfunctional. Cleveland, surprisingly, not a dysfunctional franchise. Well, historically a dysfunctional franchise, thought to have a pretty good front office right now. I know a lot of analytics, Twitter and analytics, you know, the analytics community is deciding to, you know, take up arms against the Watson deal because of some of the misconduct stuff. And I understand that, but setting it aside for a second, there's been an analysis done of it's basically equal to Russell Wilson's deal. PFF did, you know, crunch some numbers and, you know, depending on discount rates and all that stuff of future picks, it's basically the same, which is pretty interesting when you look at it. There's a big time discount in terms of almost, you know, over a half a decade difference between Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, right? When you look at that, that's a pretty wide disparity in terms of what you're doing with, in terms of what you're dealing with. So that's something that I think when we look back at will be very, it'll be interesting to see, like, because I think the Watson deal is probably the best deal, right? But when you look at the spread too, and start thinking about it, like, you start adding it up. Okay, there's an extra first. Well, the difference between the first, right? We could start talking about how much Fant is worth and some of the other ancillary pieces in the Seattle one, but Seattle basically had nine. They got nine. Cleveland had to give up 13. So the gap there, it's not a first, but it's not. I mean, it's approaching. You know, we've seen basically the move from 12 to 8 be really expensive in terms of multiple starters, right? That was the ultimate Wentz deal, right? So when you sort of think about that in this context, like, that is actually a pretty decent sized move. And if you were going to try to jump up to get a quarterback, like, you would have to pay probably multiple day two picks to do that. Start looking at that together, it starts adding up to pretty close to a first. So you look at this Cleveland deal, it's a really good deal, right? That's a really good deal for them in terms of how it works out. But it's interesting, not typically thought of as being a great franchise. Now they sort of get it on right. Other deals here, the Colts. Again, I think the Colts front office is pretty good. As long as you could sort of keep Jim Irsay away from a microphone and doing something stupid, they're pretty good. They have done a pretty good job cap-wise, right? They're constantly competitive. The problem with them is they lost Andrew Luck in his prime. That's a really hard thing to fix. It's a really hard thing to fix. And, you know, you just think of if in 2 years, right, this Buffalo team, or in 2 years, this Kansas City team, or, I think Kansas City would probably be worse off than Indy is right now, honestly, if Mahomes were to walk away. And so you start thinking about these and you're like, wow, like they're actually have done a really good job. Again, they're kind of stuck picking in the middle of the round, right? All of these problems. But listen, we'll be patient, right? We're going to figure this out, right? And what comes to them? I think an above average quarterback, right? And still got a couple year window here. And listen, they're not on the hook for anything super long term. This is a lot better than the Wentz deal was, honestly. I think they thought they could fix Wentz. They don't need to really fix Matt Ryan. They just need to surround him with some talent. And they haven't really hamstrung themselves in a way that's going to hurt that. And again, you start looking down the line. Who's the next guy that's going to be pissed at his team? I don't know. But you just have to start thinking about that, right? We've seen Russell Wilson go. We've seen Deshaun Watson go. You know, we'll see what happens with Baker Mayfield, but he isn't really in that strata. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers was flirting with it. But if we start looking back, right, there's been basically, there's been a good chunk of movement here of quarterbacks over the past, over the past couple of years or so, with, if you include some of the movement with Wentz, for example, right? If you include, Brady moving teams, right? Do you see, roughly one or so a year moving around? Who's the next one on the horizon? We don't know. You know, does Jalen Hurts become available at some point? Does another quarterback become available? Does Lamar Jackson become available? Right? Who becomes available that could potentially change the marketplace that you could be able to address? I think about that in Dynasty a lot. The Colts really haven't hurt themselves in the ability to sort of pursue that. What's interesting to me is Houston, because Houston panicked, I think. Right? I do think Houston panicked in terms of selling Watson. They could have gotten more. They should have gotten more. They basically got three first-round picks. They're all going to be mid to late first-round picks. They didn't get any seconds. Right? They didn't really take two picks. They didn't get any starters. Right? At least with Seattle, you got some cost control on a guy like Fant for a couple of years. You have that sort of stuff. Houston didn't, right? And they're a dysfunctional franchise, right? The Deshaun Watson deal is going to turn out to be a horrible deal for them, as the way it looks right now. And yeah, they were dealing from a situation of weakness, but so was Philly in the Harden deal, and look what they are in the Ben Simmons saga, and look what they got. All right, so I do think, like, when you look at these, there are the strength of sort of your franchise, and don't panic, right? When you look at some of these, there's teams that didn't panic. Other teams that didn't panic. The Saints didn't panic. Again, they could have given what Cleveland gave and have been just fine, right? That would have been something I think they could have figured out and made work. But what do they do? Bring back Jameis Winston. It's not a debilitating deal, right? You're not trading for Carson Wentz. You're not trading, multiple picks for a tied up asset, right? You're not trading for Jimmy Garoppolo to have to pay him, pay him $30 million next year, right? You're not doing those things. You bring back Winston and you figure it out, right? You continue to play this year from year. Again, I keep thinking, hey, who's the next guy to become available? Is it Kyler Murray, right? It does at some point, somebody else get mad, right? We saw Stafford leave, right? And I'm just looking back at even other people who have left. Tannehill's moved teams, right? Like, you start looking at who's the next disgruntled star. We think about that in the NBA. Right? This has happened now, right? This is kind of becoming a thing. Again, is it going to be as common in the NFL? No. Who's the next one to pick? There's just not as many guys in the NFL for that to probably happen as much as it happens in the NBA. There's only depending on how you define it, 10 to 15 stars at the quarterback position, right? How many of them can really become available in a year? Well, a lot of them in the past, 36 months have, right? So again, I think we don't necessarily know the future, but they haven't hamstrung themselves in a way that really burdens them to make a move in the future. Again, who knows? If they aren't good in the draft either, they could address it then, right? Like, they haven't really hindered themselves. And when you look at teams that have done that, Washington, heck, Indy right now, they could be in to make a play for a quarterback in this draft, but they traded a first for Carson Wentz, right? You look at that. Another team that I think is interesting from this perspective is Detroit, right? They don't, are they forced with Goff? I mean, they could probably move off of him, right? I don't think that they're still in the, hey, we can be patient, we're kind of in the cap clearing mode. They could move off of him and basically eat, it'd be eating a lot this year. They could probably spread it out over the next couple of years, sort of eat the dead cap in future years and save a whole bunch of money if they wanted to sort of post June 1. And maybe, there's a team out there that has a couple of day 2 picks for Garoppolo in hand if they want the deal. Maybe that's Detroit. right? Maybe Detroit's in on a guy like Baker Mayfield. Maybe they're in on that, but I don't think that they've, right, with Goff's contract, they haven't, you know, they added multiple firsts. They've got the ability to maybe pick somebody, right? They've got the ability to do it in a way that's kind of on their terms. And I don't think they're necessarily in a rush franchise-wise, right? They have some resetting of the chairs to do. You know, that's the big thing. And the big takeaway, again, don't leave yourself sort of hamstrung. And then the other one, I think, is, you know, I've talked about the Trubisky one. I think it's a great deal. You know, they're not any worse. They're basically like the Saints. Again, look at the teams that made the good deals. The Saints, who's always good? The Saints, Pittsburgh, right? They're Indy is usually pretty good. I think they're a step below. Yeah, obviously Cleveland's a step below. But who's not usually that good? Like, who's not usually that good? Washington, right? Houston, right? Like, it's not surprising that the teams that are sort of good make good decisions, right? They're a product. The reason they're good is they make good decisions, right? They're a product of making good decisions over and over and over again. And this is what we see. Our fantasy teams are the same way. Fantasy teams are the same way. The other one I think is fascinating is you look at San Francisco and you see Trey Lance, and you know, there's a talk that they have multiple day two picks in hand, basically a standing offer if they want it. I'm not sure who that offer's from. I mean, it's not from anyone picking, you know, it's not from, I don't think it's from a playoff team from last year, unless it's from Pittsburgh. You know, maybe it's from the Saints. I don't know. Maybe it's from Houston, right? That would be the other one that would make sense. I think it would be Houston. You know, Detroit, you know, maybe. But again, I don't know how that really solves their problems either. You know, so you start looking around and you wonder, is it can't be Seattle, right? I mean, it's Seattle, and that wouldn't make a ton of sense, I wouldn't think. You know, so it leaves, and as I was thinking about this, you know, Carolina, maybe Carolina could be the answer. I mean, they're just searching, and don't have a great answer in their situation. You know, I guess the chairs have kind of become, I guess, I don't know if it's settled. I don't know if they've been clearly identified, but I would say this. I think the most likely scenario is that, although the Detroit and Mayfield link is interesting because of John Dorsey, who drafted Mayfield and is advising the Detroit stuff. I was listening to a podcast this week, and they were talking about that. So I wouldn't necessarily rule that out. I'm surprised Houston didn't take a shot on them. Right, Houston taking a shot on Mayfield would have been interesting, unless they, it would have been probably easy to do. I can't imagine like they would have, it would have cost them too much in terms to do that, because I can't imagine, right? They basically had Cleveland where they wanted him, and I'm surprised they didn't take a shot on Mayfield, at least rehabilitating him or even flipping him or something like that. But so maybe they're in on Garoppolo, right? Who could be in on, you know, there's basically, I look at this and there's a couple of chairs that we have to fill. Lance, Garoppolo, and Mayfield. And sort of where do we go from there? Well, you got Houston. Is that Davis Mills or is that one of those guys? It's not Mayfield. I mean, we sort of know that at this point. Is it Garoppolo? That would be the other possible spot. That's been speculated. So that would be one to think about. Carolina, you know, is that going to be Mayfield? You know, it's tough. Are they going to go the same route they did with Darnold, paying a ton of money to Darnold? I mean, we'll see how that goes. I'd be surprised to give Darnold another shot, but what do you do at that point? You're going to basically put yourself in the exact same situation you did by taking on either Darnold or Mayfield. So, I mean... if you're looking for a guy, I mean, that's kind of the draft spot, I would think. You know, Atlanta, I think it's probably a shot on Mariota, and you'd figure probably not taking on Mayfield's contract. You know, is that Garoppolo? Maybe. But it looks like Mariota's going to get the shot. Maybe they draft somebody. So I think that's a no. Seattle's commonly speculated as a spot for potentially Mayfield. That would make sense. Probably not going to cost that much, but Seattle's one. Carolina's really the other one, right? And is Carolina a spot for either of those guys? I don't know. But when the when the chips fall, right, if it's not Houston, someone's left without a chair. And I wonder, the fallout from this is, listen, I don't think, man, it's really tough to say. I have this premonition. I don't know if it's a premonition, if it's a feeling, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing I had going on with Kyler Murray. And it was like, hey, when you listen and you really listen for it, Kyler Murray doesn't sound great when people talk. And it was, Kyler Murray doesn't sound good. And the comments that people make about him in terms of just like, it's not a sense of ease that you get when you listen to people talk about him, right? It's not the super laudatory stuff. It's like, you know, he needs to develop more, and you know, you hear stuff like that. And it's just a tone of what you hear people talk about. You know, I'm sort of familiar with it because I've talked about people like that. So that's how I know, right? When you work with a dysfunctional colleague, you sort of, I don't know if it's innuendo or what, right? But you sort of talk about them in ways that it's not saying that they're a terrible colleague, but it's saying that, like, hey, it's not a good situation, right? And you sort of talk about them in coded language. So I recognize it when I hear it. That's what we were hearing with Kyler, right? That's what we were hearing with Kyler. God, it seems very similar to what we're hearing with Trey Lance. It really does. And I hope I'm wrong. But enough speculation is out there amongst people that I listen to in the media that aren't just bloviating, right? There's the bloviators. I listen to people from PFF and The Athletic, some of the Ringer people as well. And not just bloviating, right? There's people on big media that bloviate, right? That go to the Senior Bowl and make broad declarations. And when you actually watch them at the Senior Bowl, they're not even looking at the field, right? Like, so it's not those people. it's people that I think talk to teams and that are plugged in, and you just think, huh, it's just enough, huh, that, you know, that just gives me enough pause about maybe the keys aren't entirely turned over to Lance. Garoppolo's on a controllable contract again. You know, I don't know. It's just a really interesting. And listen, if the thought is right that it was Garoppolo, Mac Jones that they were bringing in for Garoppolo, that they wanted to trade up for and bring in and put in place of Garoppolo, and instead Shanahan basically got talked out of it, and now he's going with, you know, now they went with Trey Lance, who he wasn't convinced on. What would be evidence of that? Well, it would be you don't get him off the bench. Just kind of what has happened, you know. And so they've got Garoppolo under control again for another year. It's 26.9, basically $27 million cap hit, right? They can cut him and save basically all of it. But man, I mean, you know, they still have space, right? They've got basically like $6 million worth of space that they could fit this and make it work again. And then the question is, like, do you just straight let it play out? You're gonna take a tag right next year, right? Like, how do you sort of control that? You give him a year extension, right, so that way he's tradable next year, or do you just let him play and take a comp pick? And it's a lot to take a comp pick on a starting quarterback to take a third for. That's basically what you do 2 years out. Man, this is a really fascinating situation. And I, you know, and the shoulder surgery complicates it, right? I think everyone thought he was gone, but the shoulder surgery actually complicates it in a way that makes him more likely to stay there. So I, you know, listen, I'm all open to start seeing what Trey Lance has, but if there was a scenario where they're not actually convinced that after a year with him, that Trey Lance is the guy, we would see it play out a lot the way that we have. And there's nothing to stop them from bringing back Garoppolo next year. There isn't. So that would be the thing that I would, and there's not going to be a ton of market for him, right? Because unless they trade him to San Francisco or Houston, which, you know, the Houston thing seems like you're going Davis Mills. I mean, that would be the most logical thing, was that they continue to play this out. But if they are true that it seems like that there's multiple picks in hand for Garoppolo, it would seem like it would be Houston. But if they don't trade him to Houston, it's Carolina, which again is the same situation Carolina's been in, or it's really nowhere. And that is going to be fascinating. So I'm really interested to see how this all plays out. And who wants to really, that's the problem with a team that's rebuilding. Do you really want to get in and play and pay this cost for him right now? Man, it's a lot to give. And then to give an extension. So we'll see. I think it's really interesting. All right, well, let's look here at other situations. I just want to go down the confidence interval here that I have. I believe I'm at 16 guys in terms of confident for next year. Where we're at. So we've got right now, we've got a bunch of changes. So we've got, I was counting 8 changes, from 21 starter to 22 week one starter. Houston went from Tyrod to, I'm guessing it's going to be Davis Mills, but either way, it's not going to be Tyrod Taylor. Atlanta goes from Matt Ryan. It's open now, Mariota or someone else. Denver goes from Bridgewater to Russell Wilson. So that's 3. Seattle goes from Russell Wilson to an unknown. That's 4. Washington goes from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Carson Wentz. That's 5. Cleveland goes from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson. That is 6. Indianapolis goes from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan. That's 7. And then Pittsburgh goes from Ben Roethlisberger to Mitchell Trubisky. That is 8. And then everyone else, basically all your playoff teams, they're all back with their same quarterbacks. So again, you like look at consistency and the like. What do you see, right? Teams like that. Well, San Francisco is the one question mark on that. But besides that, right, they've got it squared away, which is kind of why you paid for what you paid Deshaun Watson. So that's the big deal there. Again, looking forward in terms of confidence for 2023, let's just redo this because we did this early on in the offseason. I'm just passing through all the rookies, which maybe with the Trey Lance thing is a mistake. We'll see. I can't imagine that they're not going to start him this year or next year, but we'll see. Lawrence, I'm confident. Goff, no. Mills, no. But we'll see. I think he has the ability to play himself into it. Right? I do think he's a talented later guy in the draft. Like this is how you sort of see whether it's a Kirk Cousins situation or Dak Prescott situation sort of become a starter, right? A long window, and you sort of play better than expectation. And Davis Mills, I think, played better than expectation last year. We'll see. We'll see. You know, he needs to basically get another crack at it and then be pretty good, right? That would sort of be the combo. I'm giving Zach Wilson a shot. Yes. I don't think it's likely that Daniel Jones, I'm not confident that he's a 2023 starter. I guess that's another spot that Garoppolo could be. But they just brought in Tyrod Taylor, so probably not. Carolina, no confidence. Justin Fields, again, we pass him through. Atlanta, we don't know, so no confidence. Denver, confidence in Russell Wilson. Seattle, no confidence because we don't know who the quarterback is. Washington, no confidence because it's Carson Wentz and I just don't have any confidence. Minnesota, yes. Yeah, I probably should. I'm borderline on the fence on this one. I'm going to put no because I think they've done it in a way that they could trade his contract if they want to. So I'm going to put no for confidence on him right now. I do think he will be a starter next year. I'm not sure it's in Minnesota. So we're going to put no on that. We'll put yes on Cleveland with Deshaun Watson because he's going to be their starter, and assuming that he's not, you know, he's in trouble for something else or chronically suspended. Yes on Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. No on Tua. Matt Ryan in Indy. I'm putting no because I just want to see what they do contract-wise. And they've left themselves the ability to move on if they want to. I think he's probably a multi-year starter at this point. I want to see what they do with him. So I'm going to put no at this point just because there's no guarantees and he'll be going on 38 years old. So if last year was a sign of a fall off, like they can get out of it. So I'm going to go no at this point on Indy. Yes on Herbert. No on New Orleans. No on Jalen Hurts, although you can convince me that he's going to be a guy. And they didn't seem to be particularly in on Watson, so that, for what that's worth. No in Pittsburgh, yes in New England. I think the Adams deal and the trade for Derek Carr has pretty close to signal that they're going to be, he's going to be the guy. I have him at no right now because he's basically on a one-year deal at this point. Let's see what a contract extension looks like before we go. I assume that he is going to get it because they don't really have much of another choice and they're going to build around him. It looks like what's going to happen. So he's as close to a yes as any no probably is at this point. Yes on Kyler Murray. I think they're calling his bluff. Yes on Dak. Yes on Josh Allen. No on Ryan Tannehill. No on Tom Brady because he's year to year and he's 45 and he just retired and then unretired. So leave that there. Yes on Aaron Rodgers. Yes on Trey Lance. Yes on Patrick Mahomes. Yes on Joe Burrow. Yes on Matthew Stafford. So I have 16 confident in 2023, 16 not confident situations in 2023. So that's really the big stuff there in terms of the quarterback stuff. Other news around the league that I think is relevant here. Actually, Jamison Crowder signing with the Bills is interesting. It doesn't hurt Gabe Davis. I'd love to see them bring Emmanuel Sanders back, but he could fill in the type of role that Cole Beasley played at a cheaper number, and I think that'd be a really interesting one. It's a low-risk, moderate upside deal for their offense. He's nothing probably more than a wide receiver four for our purposes, but I think that is an interesting one. If you're taking a deep shot, and hey, where can I find someone that maybe get 100 targets, something like that? Crowder is a decent option. Mariota, of course, from the Raiders to the Falcons. So we'll see there. That I think he has a shot to start. It's a little bit richer than the Trubisky deal. So we'll see where that goes. It's 2 years, $28 million for Jameis. I don't know if I mentioned the numbers earlier. That's a little bit richer than the Mariota deal, so if we're trying to scale them. Duke Johnson to the Bills as well, receiving-centric guy after they missed out on J.D. McKissic. Breida to the Giants, I would just say, same front office, same offensive coordinator that's now the head coach with the Giants. Very limited usage, so take that for what it's worth. Matt Barkley back with the Bills, which is interesting. He's been kind of trickling around. Trubisky's potentially visiting with the Patriots. I will say the good thing is no signing yet. So it was supposed to happen Monday as of this recording, which is real late Monday night. It has not signed. Tampa is working to try and get him to come back. So we'll see how that works out. Gerald Everett to the Chargers, 2 years. $12 million. So basically didn't really earn himself much money over. He actually took less per year than he did last year, I believe. I think it was like $10 million last year they took. So I guess earned himself about the same guaranteed that he had last year. So we'll see how that plays out. Again, I think he's more ancillary than anything else. Rashad Penny ending up in Seattle, probably the best bet for him. So it takes basically a prove-it deal. I don't think I've had the opportunity to comment on Robert Woods yet. It's okay. And I think he's more wide receiver three, wide receiver four. Just a low-volume offense. One of the worst volume passing offenses in the league. Coming off an ACL, you know, that's a recoverable injury. But on the back half of his career and heading to a not great situation, so don't really love that. There's some sprinkling around of Will Fuller being interested in the Browns and them being interested in him, so we'll see there. And I think that pretty much does it here for any of the things that I haven't talked with. There have been initial contract extension talks with Derek Carr as well. That's one I haven't commented on. Cordarrelle Patterson, 2 years, $10.5 million back to go with Atlanta. We'll see what the guaranteed number is on that. I think it's probably a good situation for him. Running back two range perfectly in his range of outcomes. Boston Scott going back to Philly, that put him in the, I don't know, hopper, I guess if you'd call it, for their backup spot. Juju Smith-Schuster fits a really good spot for Casey in that slot position. I think that's interesting. He's firmly in the wide receiver two landscape at like a wide receiver 3 to 4 cost. So that's one I really like. Potential rehab of his value for sure. Austin Hooper, a 1-year prove-it deal with Tennessee, is interesting. Again, if they now have a little bit more receiving work. It would have been better last year for sure, but that's pretty much where that's at. So DJ Moore got paid. So that was, I think, later last week. So, yeah, so that's the that's really the rundown of all the things. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode. And until next time, you can continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.